Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Three Up, Three Down. This is episode 17. Next week, we will finally be legal. Very exciting. Let me introduce my roundtable baseball associates for this week once again, representing the National League Central. Kurt Peter, what's up, KP?
What's going on, everybody?
Over representing the National League West, Jeremy Dorn.
Hey, guys, how's it going tonight?
Representing the American League West is Brian Boynton.
Hello, everybody.
And representing the American League Central is Angelo Felicia.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
My name is Brian Mapes. I handle the American League and National League East. And we're going to get right into it with the American League East news. Kevin Youkilis traded from the Red Sox today. Spent 8.5 years with the team. A wonderful touching moment at Fenway Park this afternoon as they took on the Braves. Youkilis had a triple in his final at-bat as a Red Sox, was replaced by a pinch runner. Bobby Valentine was apparently passed down from Ben Charrington, the general manager, that Youkilis trade was in the works, so they pulled him. Fenway fans gave him a rousing standing ovation, emotional seeing his teammates clapping for him as he came off the field one last time at Fenway Park as a member of the Red Sox. He is dealt to the Chicago White Sox, so all he's really going to have to do is throw his socks in the wash, a little bit of bleach, and he'll be okay. He was sent to Chicago in exchange for Brent Lillibridge, the utility player, and Zach Stewart, right-handed pitcher. They optioned Stewart down to AAA immediately following the process of the trade. The White Sox, their big sticking point this season was trying to get a little more offense. Dunn has been back. Canerico has been great. But third base has been an absolute problem for Chicago. Their third baseman combined this season hitting .168. That is the lowest batting average by any position for any team in the majors this season. So, Angelo, over to you. How big of an upgrade is this for the Chicago White Sox?
I think it's a pretty healthy upgrade for them. I think that clearly they were buyers even before this trade, just because of where they stand in the American League Central right now, in first place. But I think that that's a huge move for them. I think that it's going to help them a lot down the stretch, being a corner infielder, adding some more pop to that lineup that sometimes just doesn't have that pop, as you saw this weekend. They had 2-1-0 games against the Brewers, one in their favor and one not in their favor. So offensively, it's going to be a huge help for them.
All right, the White Sox are sitting in first place, just a half game ahead of the Cleveland Indians. They'd like to stay ahead. The Detroit Tigers lurking, and surprisingly, the Kansas City Royals, 31-39, still just 6 games back in the American League Central. But the White Sox are buyers, as proof of the Kevin Youkilis trade. Did not seem to give up a lot to get the 2008 and 2009 All-Star from Boston. We started the new segment last week. We're bringing it back this week in Tommy John, sponsored by Dr. James Andrews. Well, not really sponsored, but if he wants to call us up from Alabama and talk about this, or even sponsor it, he is more than welcome to. This week in Tommy John, Brandon Beachy, who led the National League in ERA at this point of the season for the Atlanta Braves, he will undergo Tommy John surgery this week. Also, David Herndon of the Philadelphia Phillies, the relief pitcher, will have to get Tommy John surgery. Felipe Paulino of the Kansas City Royals is getting a second opinion, but it looks likely he has a UCL tear. He is going for a second opinion. He may need Tommy John. So now we're already setting ourselves up for next week's edition of This Week in Tommy John. The elbow issue is not the only injuries to happen this week, though. Sean Markham to the 15-day DL with elbow tightness doesn't look like anything leading to Tommy John, hopefully. But they replace him by signing LeVon Hernandez, who had been released by the Atlanta Braves, signed by Milwaukee. KP, how excited are you for the LeVon Hernandez era?
Oh, I'm not too excited about the LeVon Hernandez era. I don't know. I know the Brewers need pitching help, apparently. We also need some hitting help. So it's all a little all over the map, but it's... I don't think you bolster your staff by signing a 4.4 career ERA and a guy that's two games under 500 in his career, but not to mention trying to replace Sean Markham. So I don't know how it's going to happen. I guess I'll ride it out like I've been kind of riding out this whole season as a Brewers fan.
All right. It can't be that bad. I mean, he had some glimmer of hope coming out of the bullpen for Atlanta, so if he can get you through some innings, you'll be all right, I promise.
That's all we need.
The dreaded oblique injury striking again. Frank Francisco, the Mets closer, goes on the 15-day DL this today with a strained oblique, while Joe Saunders will go to the DL over in Arizona. Do you think that this is time we finally see Trevor Bauer called up, the highly touted prospect? Jeremy, is now the time? Is it the Bauer hour?
I like that. I think it should be. I think that the fans want him. I think they should give him a shot. I mean, he's been, ever since he started, you know, pitching last year, he's been moving up rapidly through the minors, and he's in AAA now and still dominating. I think they should definitely give him a shot. They don't really have anything to lose. Not that they're out of the race, but they need some kind of spark. You know, they've been getting it on the offensive side lately, but, you know, Ian Kennedy, last year's ace, continues to struggle. Now Hudson goes down with an injury. So, yeah, I think it's time. Give him a shot.
All right. They also have Tyler Skaggs still sitting down there in the minors. A lot of pitching depth for Arizona at this time. Maybe another guy they can replace in the rotation coming up in 3-town later on. Brandon McCarthy of the Oakland Athletics back to the DL. He came back, had one good start, goes back to the disabled list with a strained shoulder. I feel like we talk about this every week, Brian. What's going on with Brandon McCarthy this week?
Well, he's always being put on the DL, has been his entire career. But, I mean, it's just another injury to notch up for him. It's really hard to tell. Just chronic right shoulder trouble, it seems. Maybe he's just got a brutal arm. I don't know.
All right. And Anthony Bass, friend of the podcast, will go to the disabled list with shoulder inflammation, the 15-day kind over there. Angelo, he's your buddy. How has he said anything to you? Is he any at all worried about this injury?
No, he actually was about to go. Sorry. The answer is yes. He's not worried, though. He was feeling better, and they just really just make it a judgment call whether or not they're going to have him start on Tuesday. And instead of pushing it, they just felt that just to have him sit down and rest for 15 days. It is retroactive to the 21st. He's only going to miss, you know, 12 more days or so. So, well, she only missed two starts, I believe, maybe three, but they're just being more cautious with him. They don't want to lose him in the long run.
All right. We wish Anthony a speedy recovery from the three up, three down family. One last pitcher news right now. Ryan Dempster of the Cubs. This came out right when we recorded our last podcast. He goes to the DL with lat tightness. KP, how is this going to affect the Cubs trying to move him at the trade deadline?
It's obviously a little harder to trade a guy who has a potential for injury, but I also don't know. I mean, I don't think he might not get much value for him, but the Cubs can certainly try. They aren't doing that well with who they got.
All right, and now let's get to the Rays. We don't talk about enough Rays news, but they have a couple things this week. Matt Joyce, who was well on his way to being an all-star this season, he goes to the DL with a strained oblique, while Jeremy Hellickson, the American League Rookie of the Year last season, goes to the DL with a strained shoulder. They just keep plugging along when you see guys like Jose Lobatone getting cleanup for them. I don't know how they do it. Joe Maddon is a genius. I'm going to leave it at that, but they're still sitting in third place in the AL East, just 3 games out of first. Not the only news out of Tampa Bay this week. Joel Peralta suspended 8 games by Major League Baseball. He was ejected from a game after Nationals manager Davey Johnson came out, asked the umpires to check his glove. They found that there was too much pine tar on it. He was ejected George Brett style almost for too much pine tar. He gets an 8-game suspension. Do you guys think that was enough, too much, or not enough of a suspension for the pine tar on the glove? We'll start it off with you, Angelo.
I guess it's just about right. I mean, I haven't really seen too many people get suspended for this, so I'm not really sure what the norm is, honestly. But I mean, I think that's fair. It's enough to kind of put a little damper in his paycheck, but I think it's all right.
All right, Brian, your thoughts on Joel Peralta's suspension?
Well, like Angelo said, I haven't heard very many guys getting tossed out for this, so there's not much precedent for a suspension like this. So it's hard to tell, but maybe this is just kind of like a wake-up call. Like, guys, don't cheat, but if you're going to, don't get caught.
Jeremy, over to you. What are your thoughts on Joel Peralta's suspension?
I like it, too. Like you guys were saying, there really isn't a precedent. It's a rare thing. But, you know, this is, I think, a good amount to crack down, like you were saying, Brian. And maybe even not just saying, don't do this and don't get caught, but don't be dumb enough to do it against the team you pitched for last year. I don't know. That was all Peralta's fault. But, yeah, I think that's a good length. That's possibly, you know, 3 or 4 appearances over an 8-game span for a, you know, well-used reliever. So I like the length of it.
Kurt, over to you. What are your thoughts on Joel Peralta getting 8 games from Major League Baseball?
I think it's a valid fine. I mean, it's cheating. It's against the rules, and you're going to try to do it. The only counter to that is that maybe it should be more, considering Brett Lowry got, 4 games, right, for throwing a helmet that incidentally hit the umpire, which I thought was a little harsh, but I don't know. The crime doesn't really match the distance.
I don't know. It's hard to, like, gauge how they decide it when they suspend a pitcher 5 games and all he's really missing is 1 start. I guess for a reliever, he would have appeared a few times. I probably would have given him 5 games for it, a couple of appearances, just like a start for a starting pitcher. I don't know. Somewhere in there, 8 seems a little much to me, but whatever. Last couple notes. Rangers, it seems like we're talking a lot of Rangers injuries the past few weeks, Brian. Matt Harrison leaves tonight's game, and Mitch Moreland to the DL with a strained hamstring. What is in the water in Texas, and how is Josh Hamilton somehow avoiding it?
Well, he's not avoiding it, actually. He was at missed, 3-4 games last week with an intestinal virus. He hasn't been hitting very well for the last 3 weeks. But I don't know. Apparently our strength and conditioning coach doesn't pay attention real well to players' legs, because we seem to have a lot of guys get hamstring and quad injuries. Harrison's is more of a precautionary thing. He was rolling in the 5th inning, and when he got out of the 5th inning, they took him back to the dugout. He talked with Washington and McCarthy, and they just said, you know what, we're just going to take you out. We don't want to risk injury. So it's just a lower back stiffness on his left side. It's his plant foot, it's push foot. It's his left foot on his left side. So it's a precautionary thing.
And you don't even have Roy Oswalt waiting in the wings now. He's actually in the majors. So
I was going to say, Derek Holland's supposed to be coming back earliest on next Sunday, the 1st, or right after the All-Star break, so.
All right, good to hear that the Dutch oven will be back sooner than later. Last injury note, Jose Valverde has been out of the lineup, it seems, for a few days over in Detroit. Joaquin Benoit has been filling in for him. Even Phil Koch got a save. Everything okay with Papa Grande up in Detroit, Angelo?
Well, I'm not 100% sure. It just kind of seems like a sprained wrist. Like I was saying, I was at the game, actually, and right behind the bullpen when he heard it. He was just warming up and tweaked something and gave another test and doubled over in pain, knew that he couldn't go, and that was the night that Phil Koch ended up saving the game. Not 100% sure, though. It just seems like it's just a sprained wrist, something he can come back from, hopefully shortly. Maybe hopefully. I'm not really sure. I hope that.
All right, and final note out of the news. Daryl Ackerfeld, the San Diego Padres bullpen coach, succumbs to his battle with pancreatic cancer. He passes away at the age of 50. We would like to send our condolences to his family and the Padres organization at this time. Going to move over to the next segment, three up, three down fantasy for this week, and we're going to start it off with a couple of closers that have been that you should be picking up in fantasy leagues. Brian, who is the NL West 3-up player for this week?
The NL West.
AL West. Brian, AL West.
Well, it's none other than Seattle Mariners' Tom Wilhelmsen, and their rotation of closers just keeps going. But he took over the closing role on June 4th, and since then, he's given up no earned runs, striking out 16, lowered his ERA from 381 to 292 over that span. So the guy's rolling right now. I recommend picking him up. Matter of fact, I just picked him up on my team, so go for it.
Yeah, he's been solid, a great K per 9, 46 strikeouts in 37 innings, owned in just 42% of fantasy leagues still. So if you're looking for saves, there might not be a lot of wins over in Seattle, but Wilhelmsen has gotten the job done in replacement of Brandon Lee. And the other three-up closer for this week comes from my National League East. We said before, Frank Francisco to the disabled list with a strained oblique. Should be Bobby Parnell that will be filling in for him. He had the closer job last year for a little while. He is owned in just 11% of Yahoo Fantasy Leagues right now. A 3.30 ERA on the season. You don't like the whip. He does give up base runners at 1.37, but he does have strikeout potential, which you'd like to see from the closer. 30 strikeouts in 30 innings this season for the New York Metropolitans. The last three-up player, not a new closer. Going to go over to you, Angelo. Who is your three-up player for this week?
My player is Jose Quintana, the starter for the Chicago White Sox. This week he had two outings, went 5 1/3 inning the first time, giving up just one run and getting the win against the Cardinals. And most recently went 8 innings against the Dodgers, giving up 5 hits and no runs, but getting a no decision.
All right, Jose Quintana owned in just 16% of fantasy leagues. He has been an absolute stud thus far for the White Sox. All the pitchers for the White Sox, it seems. Sale, Peavy, Quintana, just rolling over in the Windy City. Going to move it over to three down, and we'll start it off with a closer that has the job still, but has been getting himself into trouble lately. KP, who's your three-down player for this week?
Three-down player, another Houston Astro, Brent Myers this week, who has been a good closer up until now. I mean, he was coming into this last week or so, or no, this last month, he was 9 for 9 in save chances. I mean, he was putting up good numbers. He was doing really well. And then on June 18th against the Royals, who you probably shouldn't be struggling with, he gave up 8 hits and 5 earned runs in 0.2 innings pitched, which ballooned his ERA up above 3.8. So it's, I wouldn't say, like, watch out, everybody drop him, but it's something to keep your eye on just in case he gets a little shaky. He did pitch one scoreless inning a week after that on the 24th, so not that he's falling apart or anything, but it's something to keep your eye out for.
Yeah, also, you never know if Brett Myers could get traded into a situation where he won't be the closer anymore. Just if you have him, it might be a good time to try and get some feeler offers, see if another team needs a closer, and try and deal him away for parts that can help you in other categories. Going to go over to Jeremy, who is going to double dip on the three down this week, one from his division and one bonus. Who are your three down players for this week, Jeremy?
Well, I'll start with my division, and that is Arizona Diamondbacks pitcher Daniel Hudson, who he was doing all right when he came back from his injury originally, but last three starts has struggled pretty mightily. Let's see, last three starts, he's pitched 12 and two-thirds and given up 16 earned runs. So, you know, we're talking a lot of damage. They actually managed to go 2-1 in those three starts, but that's because they scored like 30 runs, being the Diamondbacks. But yeah, his season ERA now up over 6. It's like 6.6 right now. WHIP is over 1.5. And he's just, you know, they interviewed Kirk Gibson after his latest struggle against the Mariners, and he was saying basically that the secondary pitches weren't working. But, you know, if you've watched him pitch lately, it's not just the secondary pitchers. It's the primary pitches. It's everything not working. So, you know, he's got to figure it out fast because the D-backs need some pitching right now. Could use the help. Yeah, you know, that's what's going down in the desert. So second player I got here today for three down is AL East. You may have heard of this guy, Dustin Pedroia. Before Red Sox Nation starts yelling at us, you got to look at his stats since coming back from that six-game stretch in which he didn't play at the end of May, beginning of June there. And since then, since June 5th, he has 12 hits. 12 total. He's dropped his average. His average is all the way down to, what are we at now? 268. He's hitting 182 this month. And in his last four or five games, he's gotten four hits. Yeah, 12 for 66 in June. Ooh. So, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that you'd think you'd want to at least keep on your bench for a little bit, see if he can bounce back, see if the trade does the Red Sox any good and sparks them for any reason, and he's a big part of it. I don't know, but for now, he needs to be at least riding the bench or up for trade or something until he turns it around.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with Dustin Pedroia. I have him in a couple of weeks. I don't know if I would trade him for 75 cents on the dollar for another second baseman even, but he has not been great. Hitting just 200 in the last 30 days with no home runs, no stolen bases. So he is basically giving you nothing. And you're like, oh, he's Dustin Pedroia, I got to keep him in. It might be time to bench him while he sorts out his injury woes. That bad thumb clearly is not making him 100%. Dustin Pedroia, though, usually is on the AL All-Star team. This year, not so much, which brings us to our next segment. Last week, we gave you the National League All-Star 3U 3D endorsements. This week, we are going to do the American League, and we will start it off at American League catcher. You can see all of my picks on our blog at 3u3d.mlblogs.com. My first pick at catcher, not a popular one as he is currently, where is he? Catcher. See, I always do catcher first. They do catcher last time. This is weird. He is fourth in the AL catcher voting, is AJ Pierzynski of the Chicago White Sox. He's really, it's just not a great crop of American League catchers right now, as Mike Napoli hasn't hit like he hit in the second half last year. Joe Mauer's hitting 300, but it's an empty 300. Pierzynski hitting 287 on the year, 12 home runs high up among American League catchers, 41 RBIs high up among American League catchers. I think he deserves to start the All-Star team. I gave an AL Central guy, so we'll go to the other AL Central guy. Who do you think should be starting a catcher, Angelo?
I guess I'm okay with, I don't know, I like your pick, Mace, with AJ Pierzynski, and I'm not really the biggest Pierzynski fan. Matt Wieters has been pretty solid too. I don't know if I trust this Mike Napoli thing, but he's been alright too. I'm going to go with Matt Wieters.
Alright. Brian, over to you. I guess I would think you're going to lean Mike Napoli here. He does have over almost a million vote lead in the All-Star voting.
Napoli. Napoli. No, for real, he is hitting better than he was hitting, but he does not deserve to start the All-Star game. This is just a symbol of brand-new Ranger fans not knowing how to vote for the All-Star game. They're voting on players they know, not based on performance. AJ Pierzynski and Matt Wieters both deserve to start over Mike Napoli. It's tough to pick which one. I'd have to go Pierzynski, though. He's hitting a little bit better.
All right, KP, over to you. Who do you think should start an American League catcher?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't like AJ Pierzynski, but I have to respect that he's playing well this year, so he definitely deserves to probably start over Mike Napoli. I mean, Mike Napoli had a few surging, like, week and a half or two while he was hitting really well, but it's certainly not enough to impress me for a half of a season. So I'd say go with AJ as well.
All right, and Jeremy, over to you. Who is your pick at American League catcher to start the All-Star game?
Like you said, Mapes, it's a pretty weak crop, especially with, Pierzynski still has the best numbers, in my opinion, across the board, but even he has seen his fair share of struggles recently. He's still my guy, though. I picked Pierzynski when the voting first started, and I think he's maintained that position. He's still the best among AL catchers, even if the crop is pretty weak.
Look at that. I love when we all get along. This is nice. AJ Pierzynski, the official 3U3D pick for American League catcher. He is, again, fourth in the voting. He is 1.2 million votes behind Mike Napoli. So let's change that. He is behind Joe Mauer, Matt Wieters, and the aforementioned Napoli. There's still time. Go use all your email accounts. Vote for AJ Pierzynski. Going to go over to first base, where I am thankful that Paul Konerko is not behind Mark Teixeira anymore. Mitch Moreland, maybe not as many votes with his injury, but my first base pick is Paul Konerko of the White Sox. I swear I don't have a White Sox bias. It just so happens that I think Canerco's having possibly the best statistical season out of everybody, the way Josh Hamilton's been hitting. You can make a case that Paul Konerko could be the American League MVP right now. I think he should start the All-Star game at first base. KP, over to you. Who do you think should be the AL first base starter?
Well, I may be a little biased here again, but I think Prince Fielder should probably be the starter. He's just pounding the ball. I mean, I don't think he's really stood out as a leader or like a big stats guy, but he's been probably one of the most consistent players. I mean, he gets his hits, he gets his job done, and he hasn't made many headlines, which is good, I think, because he's just going out there performing and no one's mad at him, and he's not having an MVP year, so it's kind of right in the middle and just how you want to be playing.
It's a tight race between Konerko and Prince Fielder. I think those are the only two people should be voting for. Angelo, over to you. Who are you going with at AL first base?
Even though I know Konerko, even though I've mentioned this before, I know Canerco's having a great year, and I should probably say Konerko. But I'm going to switch it up and say Fielder, not because of hometown bias, but he was MVP last year of the All-Star game, so let's give a nod to Prince.
All right, and Brian, your call for AL first base.
Well, I'm going Mitch Moreland. No, I'm not. Paul Konerko deserves it. He's leading the American League in home runs last time I checked. He's been just hitting the ball and playing solid defense, I guess. But yeah, so Fielder's just not as good to me as Konerko is this year.
All right, and Jeremy, you get to break the tie, or you can actually go Mitch Moreland if you want.
Oh, you know I want to. No. I'm going to break the tie. I love being that guy. I'm going to go Konerko. No, I'm just – they both – I think they both deserve it as well, Konerko, Fielder. I figured the Fielder might be the top vote-getter because he's popular not just in Detroit, but I think the general baseball fan really loves Prince. But besides RBI, he is behind Konerko in every category, average on base percentage, homers, and even defense. Konerko's made one error. Fielder has like 7 or 8 this year. So, yeah, I think the best all-around American League first baseman this year far and away has been Konerko.
I think both of them end up making the team, Konerko and Fielder. Konerko does lead the American League in both batting average and on-base percentage. But I believe Prince has the edge in home runs. So it should be a tight battle at AL first base as they are separated by about 250,000 votes with Fielder leading. All right, going to go over to second base, where Dustin Pedroia, inexplicably, you heard the stats before, he has twice as many votes as Jason Kipnis. Now, Jason Kipnis has been fantastic for the Cleveland Indians, one of the reasons why they're in contention in the American League Central, but I can't give him the edge at AL second base. I am going to go with Robinson Cano. He had the game-winning home run tonight for the Yankees against the New York Mets. He's hitting over 300. He's got 16 home runs now. Give me Robinson Cano. He's the AL home run derby captain, so he's going to be in Kansas City anyway. I love Robinson Cano. Still an MVP candidate for me. We're going to go over to Brian. We'll have you start off. Who would you have start at second base for the American League?
Well, since you said Robinson Cano deserves it because he is the home run derby captain, since he's going to be there already. Well, let's get another guy there. Let's get Ian Kinsler to start. I know his numbers are down, but the guy leads the American League in runs. He's a threat to steal. He needs to be at the All-Star game. He's proven he's a good player. He deserves it.
Jeremy, over to you. Who do you think should start at second base for the AL All-Star team?
Well, I love this. We have three guys gone so far, and I'm going to pick the third different one so far. And I really like the Kipnis story. I want him to start. I know he's got a lot, like, 1.5 million behind Kinsler right now. It's not even close. He's not going to be there. But I would love to see Kipnis start. You know, the Indians have been hanging tough all year. And, yes, Cano and Kinsler, they have better overall stats, I believe. They're very similar on defense, Cano and Kipnis at least, but I know Cano has a higher average, a few more homers, a few more RBIs. But another thing that's being overlooked right now, I think, with Kipnis, he's 17 for 18 stealing bases this year. So I don't know how that plays into any certain situation you might come across in the All-Star game, but I think that's a very impressive stat. And you know, I don't know, I'm rooting for the little guy. I want to see Kipnis starting the game.
We're all just Kipnises in Jeremy Dorn's world. Gonna go over to Angelo. Would you like to pick a fourth different player for AL second base, or are you gonna throw some support to somebody we've already picked?
I'm gonna give my support to Robinson Cano. It is crazy how tight this race is between Kinsler and Cano, but I don't want to see these many Rangers. This many Rangers. Players in the game, but I think Cano is just a monster, like you said. He hit the game-winning home run tonight. You can't go wrong with Robinson Cano.
All right, and KP, over to you. Last thoughts on AL second base starter.
Well, I'm a big fan of Kinsler. He's just kind of a hard worker. He goes out there and plays hard every day. For my vote, though, I have to either say Kipnis or Cano. I probably should go with Cano just because he's been there. I mean, I like seeing the young guys get in there too, but Kipnis' numbers are kind of slappy. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of extra base hits. He's got 11 home runs, but aside from that, it's kind of not much. He's got 6 doubles, so he's kind of just slapping the ball around, which isn't that exciting for an All-Star game. Same with Kinsler. He packs a little bit of power, but he's also more of a slap hitter. But I like seeing the ball, you know, fly out of the ballpark, so I'm going to pick Robinson Cano.
All right, Robinson Cano gets the 3-up, 3-down second base endorsement. This is a tight race in the voting before the next update, I believe, comes out Monday, the 25th. They are separated by 15,260 votes. So that a very tight battle, easily a toss-up there at AL second base between Ian Kinsler, the leader, and Robinson Cano in second. Jason Kipnis in fourth with Dustin Pedroia the way he's playing. Can we at least get him to pass Dustin Pedroia for the love of Pete? Going to go over to third base where Evan Longoria inexplicably has 1.4 million votes. And I can't tell you why. He has played, let me see, I want to say it's 7 games all season. Might be more. Oh, Jacoby Ellsbury was at 7 games. Evan Longoria has played 23 games this season with 4 home runs. But yet he is currently third in third base voting ahead of Alex Rodriguez and the hometown guy, Mike Moustakas. But my pick for AL third base is Miguel Cabrera of the Detroit Tigers. A tight, tight race. Mark Trumbo has been great. Adrian Beltre's been great. Erod's still been solid. Moustakas has been great, but I'm going to stick with Miguel Cabrera. He's made the transition well over to third base. He still hits the ball a mile. He's been great with Prince Fielder in the lineup. I'm going to go with Miguel Cabrera and take the experience at the all-star position. Angelo, over to you. Do you agree that your boy Miguel Cabrera should be heading to the all-star game as the starter?
Absolutely, Mapes. I 100% agree. I think he is, and I know it's arguable, but I think he is the best hitter in baseball, hands down. I mean, hits for average, hits for power, hits situational. He just does everything right. And this is where I get upset with Rangers fans, and I'm sorry, Brian, but Beltre is leading the voting. I know he's not terrible, but why are there so many Rangers players leading in voting and starting for the All-Star game right now? If it ended today, there would be 1, 2, 3, 4 with the possibility of 2 more outfielders, 4 to 6 Rangers starting the All-Star game. The Rangers have lost the last 2 World Series, and they can't even beat 1 NL team. They're going to beat a whole All-Star team of NL players? I don't think so.
The Rangers have the most wins against National League this year.
Yeah, but you're not going to beat them collectively. You could use Miguel Cabrera's help. Get Cabby in there.
I'm not sure I can argue this. I know there's a lot of Rangers, but Beltre's been great. He's tied for third in the American League in hits. I like Adrian Beltre, but I'm going to get stick with Miguel Cabrera. Brian, are you going Beltre, or are you going to come over to the light side?
No, of course I'm going Beltre. I have to stand behind my boy. He's hitting over 500 for the last 10 games. The guy's crushing the ball right now. His votes are only going to go up because of that. And he's arguably the best defensive third baseman in the American League. Him and Longoria go back and forth on that, but dude, come on. Beltre, he hits behind Hamilton now. Hits in front of Young, who isn't playing very good and is still hitting that well. Put him wherever he's going to hit in that lineup for the American League All-Star team, he's going to be just that much better.
All right, going to go over to the National League guys now, get their thoughts on who should start at AL third base. KP, who are you going with?
Miguel Cabrera, easily, because he's beating Beltre in pretty much every stat category that matters, except for batting average.
And Jeremy, who are you going with?
Angel, I will not argue with you about him being the best hitter in baseball, by the way. I think he is also at least in the conversation top three. But Brian, I'm going to argue with you about defense. I think Beltre is obviously the better defender overall and over the course of the season. The stats will prove that. But as it stands now, like KP mentioned, Cabrera's got him beat in everything except batting average. That includes fielding percentage somehow. I don't know how it's happening, but Cabrera's got a better fielding percentage than Beltre. I think he would be the best choice to start in that American League lineup in the All-Star game.
Belcher had three errors like a week ago in like a 10-game span.
Can't have that.
That'll do it. No All-Star game. You're out.
Well, hey, easy. He's allowed at least a bad week.
Nope.
All right. The current voting has Adrian Beltre 382,000 votes ahead of Miguel Cabrera. But Cabrera gets the three up, three down endorsement. I don't think we've actually endorsed a player that is leading a category yet. Maybe we'll start it off with this one. My pick at AL shortstop is Derek Jeter. I can't even argue against him. I'm not a Jeter lover, but the guy, he's hitting 315. He does his job. He's been great on the top of that lineup. He plays good defense. I mean, I know the range factor isn't what it used to be, and he gets bailed out by Mark Teixeira, but he's the captain, and he should start the All-Star game. If he's having a good season, he should start the All-Star game. I'm going to go over to, you know what? Let's see if Brian will pick another Ranger. How about that?
Oh,
who are you
man.
Going with at shortstop?
All right. You're making this extremely difficult for me because I am a huge Andrus fan, and I would be a huge Jeter fan if he did not play for the Yankees. But I have to go with the smart decision, and I would pick Jeter only because Andrus is the next shortstop who's going to be great. He's not that good yet. He's great now, but he's not on that level. Jeter has been at that level for 10 seasons plus. I can't go with my boy on this one. I would love to, but I have to go with Jeter.
All right. KP, over to you. Who do you want at American League shortstop?
Jeter, easily.
Jeremy?
Yeah, usually I get tired of seeing the same Yankees in the starting lineup for the All-Star game, but I've always loved Jeter. He's one of my favorite players, and I want him starting. Barely over Cabrera, though. Barely.
And that would be as Drubal Cabrera, not Miguel. He didn't move over to shortstop just yet. Angelo. Your thoughts on AL shortstop?
Well, I want to make it clear that I think I think Azul Cabrera, purely on fielding, deserves to be there. I think he's phenomenal with the glove. But overall, I have to go with my Kalamazoo, Michigan native, Derek Jeter.
All right, Jeter does lead Elvis Andrus by over 1.3 million votes currently. He has 2.6 million votes more than fourth place as Drubal Cabrera. Gonna go over to designated hitter. We didn't get to do this one last week. We do get to do it in the American League. I'm gonna go with David Ortiz. Everybody thought he was done a couple years ago, but the man just keeps doing everything. It's a really tight battle between him and Adam Dunn, who has bounced back tremendously, and Edwin Encarnacion, who has over, I believe, 21 home runs now for the Toronto Blue Jays. And Adam Dunn has 23, but I think the overall hitting game of David Ortiz with less home runs but a better average, better OBP, gives him the edge for me at designated hitter for the American League. Jeremy, over to you. Who do you think should be the DH for the American League?
I have to agree. I think it's Poppy. I do want to plead my case for Billy Butler. Guy is awesome, and he's been underappreciated for so long, and the game is in his home park. At least get him on the list. He's not even top five right now, but I do overall, I got to go with Poppy. I got to agree with you. He's having another monster season.
It's kind of ridiculous that Michael Young, I love Michael Young. Underrated player. I remember seeing the MLB player poll that had the players voted him the most underrated player in the league, but he shouldn't have 1.9 million votes. Raul Ibanez shouldn't have a million votes. Adam Dunn, Encarnacion, and Billy Butler should be higher up on this list. I don't understand how Adam Dunn can be leading the American League in home runs and be fourth at designated hitter. It's just absolutely ridiculous. KP, over to you. Who do you think should be the designated hitter for the American League?
That's a tough question. David Ortiz has obviously put together a good season, but But you can't ignore Adam Dunn and Edwin Encarnacion. I like both of them. I mean, they're both hitting the ball really well. Dunn, I feel like, is making a lot more noise than David Ortiz is as of late. Same with Encarnacion because he played the Brewers. But other than that, I mean, it's kind of a toss-up. Whoever you're going to get is going to be a power hitter. He's going to hit the ball hard and probably get a lot of hits. I mean, in one game, it's hard to say that, but I mean, they have a lot of guys, good guys to pick from.
Yeah, it's a nice problem to have if you're Ron Washington trying to figure out. It's going to be interesting because you can say Adam Dunn deserves it, Ortiz deserves it, Encarnacion deserves it, but if they're all listed under DH, a couple of these guys are going to have to play the field. Might hurt the American League defensively, even though Encarnacion has been playing third base for Toronto this season. It'll be interesting to see how many DHs he takes based on their offensive statistical numbers. Angelo, over to you. Who do you think should be the American League designated hitter?
I also have to go with Big Papi. I mean, he's been hitting very well this year, and he'd make a great DH. But like you just said, though, as far as a position player goes, I do like Evan Encarnacion. I think that's would be all right to have him there, too. I mean, after all, he did just put a dent in Bernie the Brewer's slide last weekend, so yeah. That was interesting. Or was it Monday, I believe?
Yeah,
Monday.
Yeah, I think so. It was ridiculous.
That was a bomb.
And Brian, over to you. Who do you think should be starting at designated hitter for the American League? One of the few positions. Oh, no, never mind. I lied. Michael Young's second in that position, too, because of all the Rangers fans.
Hey, man, we're going to take over Kansas City. I'm just saying. But Ranger fans, please, I plead you not to vote for Michael Young anymore. I really want to win this one in case we make it back to the World Series, and Michael Young is just not getting it done this year. You want to do it? Vote for Adam Dunn. He's cranking home runs right now. I want to see Adam Dunn in the All-Star game.
All right. Adam Dunn loses to David Ortiz 4-1. So Big Papi gets the official 3-up, 3-down designated hitter endorsement. Going to go over to outfield now, where it is a tight, tight battle for the third outfield spot. Josh Hamilton leads all vote-getters out of all the leagues with 5.4 million votes. He looks like he is a lock for Kansas City. He is one of my outfield picks. My other two, I am going with Adam Jones of the Baltimore Orioles, who has been a do-it-all for them. Gold Glove center field, hits, steals, average, clutchness. He's done everything for Baltimore. And my third outfielder, my most controversial pick, I'm going with Mike Trout as the third AL outfielder. He has completely turned around the Angels season since getting called up the same day as Bryce Harper. Last week I said Bryce Harper shouldn't make the team at NL outfield. I think Trout should and should start in AL outfield. He's hitting .337. He's leading the American League in steals. He didn't even play the first month. And AL outfield not as deep as National League outfield. It was tough to put him in over Granderson, over Jose Bautista, but I think that Mike Trout should definitely be make the All-Star team, and he is one of my starters in the American League outfield. Gonna go over to Jeremy. You just saw the wonders of Mike Trout this past weekend playing the Dodgers. Who do you think should be in the AL outfield?
Oh, you stole the words right out of my mouth. I was going to tell you that I had to sit back and watch Trout torture the Dodgers for 6 games. And, yeah, you actually read my mind. I have the same three as you. I think Hamilton's obviously a lock, and he deserves it. You know, he's been the best overall player in baseball this season, in my opinion. Yeah, I want Adam Jones there. He's been the best player far and away on the scrappy Orioles, still hanging tough. And, yeah, I want Trout also. I mean, I was thinking at first Bautista, going back and forth with him and Granderson, and I thought, you know, they can both hit a big home run if they need to. Then I thought, well, so can Mike Trout, and he can also steal every single base, and he can, you know, run down a ball in the gap. He can do it all. And, you know, even though he hasn't been playing in the big leagues all that long, he's definitely deserving of that third outfield spot, in my opinion.
All right, sounds good. I like when we agree, Jeremy. I'm giving you a high five through Skype right now. Boom. Did it.
Wow, that was great timing to whoever made the noise. I thought you guys were actually high-fiving.
Going to go over to Brian. Who do you have in the American League outfield? Your two guys are currently sitting fifth and sixth right now in the voting. Why is David Murphy sixth in the voting?
David Murphy's the nicest guy in baseball. That's why. Everybody likes David Murphy. He
right,
really is.
I hate David Murphy. Then why is Jeff Francoeur behind him?
Because the Royals don't have as many fans as the Rangers do.
All right, well, there you go. Jeff Francoeur's a nice guy, too.
Well, he is. He's a very nice guy. Who he used to play for the Rangers, too. But no, my starting outfield, I know y'all keep praising Mike Trout for his base-stealing abilities. Well, that's why I don't want him to start. I want him to come into the situation, fourth inning, they need a runner at second, one out, whatever. I want him going second to home. So my starting outfield would be Hamilton, whether you want him to or not, it's going to start the outfield, Granderson, and Adam Jones. And I want Trout on the bench for that reason, is his ability to run. So.
All right, three votes Hamilton, three votes Jones, two Trout, one Granderson. I'm going to go over to KP. Who are your AL outfield starters?
I got Josh Hamilton. That should be a no-brainer. I'm also picking Adam Jones, which should also probably be a no-brainer because he's tearing it up for the Orioles this year. There's no questions there. His stats back it up. The third one, I'm not so positive on. I mean, when you look down the list, it's kind of like, eh, meh. I mean, after you skip over Granderson and Bautista. But I think, I don't know, I think Bautista probably should get another nod back in the All-Star game again.
Yeah, Bautista had a very slow start, has picked it up incredibly in the past month. He is back among the leaders in home runs the way he should be, currently tied with Adam Dunn coming into today's play with 23 home runs. Angelo, your American League outfield starters.
All right, well, I do want to say, first off, that I'm agreeing with you guys about Mike Trout. As far as everything goes, he's a stud. He deserves to be there. I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but he is a rookie, and you know he's got to pay his dues. So having said that, I am going to go with Josh Hamilton, clearly because he's been a stud all year. I like Curtis Granderson. And the toss-up is between him and Adam Jones. I like Granderson just because he was a Tiger, but I'm going to go with Adam Jones over Granderson. And then I'm going to go with, actually, and this is kind of a bit of a homer pick, but I'm going to go with Austin Jackson. I mean, you can look at Adam Jones' 19 home runs and 40 RBI, but Austin Jackson's batting .313 to Jones' .300, has a higher on-base percentage like .398 to Jones' .346, and he's got 30 RBIs as a leadoff hitter compared to Adam Jones. So I'm going to go with Austin Jackson as the other.
All right, fair enough. Austin Jackson is currently 12th in the American League outfield voting, just behind B.J. Upton. The last, it looks like the first two AL outfield spots are locked up from Josh Hamilton and Curtis Granderson from the fan voting. But the third spot, Jose Bautista, who passed Nelson Cruz and Adam Jones to jump into the third spot this week. Bautista, Adam Jones, and Nelson Cruz are separated by just 52,000 votes. The difference between Bautista and Jones is 36,000. So still a very close battle there. If we could just get everybody to stop giving Jacoby Ellsbury in his seven games played 631,899 votes, we would all be in a better place. But Hamilton, Adam Jones, and a tie between Mike Trout and Curtis Granderson get the three up, three down endorsement for American League outfield. If we could just combine Mike Trout and Curtis Granderson into one player, like, I don't know, Keuchel Trouterson or something, Tranderson. That would be a perfect player for the American League outfield at the center field position. that is going to do it for us this week. Make sure you get in your votes for the All-Star team at MLB.com. 25 votes per email account. I know you have more than one. Use them all up and vote for who we just told you to. We'd greatly appreciate it. That's going to do it for us this week. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. It's at 3U3D. Like us on Facebook. It's 3UP, 3DOWN. They're all words, no numbers. Read our blog. It's 3U3D.mlblogs.com. Next week, we should probably know if we made the top 25 for the month of June. Hopefully we will, as things have been going well over there. Jeremy just released his struggling starters, whether they're an ace or a joker for the rest of the 2012 season. Our email address is 3u3dbaseball@gmail.com. Feel free to drop us a line whenever you feel like it. Questions, comments, suggestions, anything you'd like to get off your chest about us. And that's going to do it for us. I'm sorry we ran out of time. We will get to Eddie Mata the next time. You can put your feet up.